1, 2, 3, 4, 5.
Hello?
Zach?
Yeah.
Hi, it's Suzanne. How are you?
Good, how are you?
Good. How was your weekend?
It was great. Did some...
Over the past year, KCUR's Suzanne Hogan has been talking to people in person and on Skype about why they came to Kansas City and why they left. You've probably heard both of our series, Going to Kansas City and Leaving Kansas City. Two sides of the same coin, really.
Are there any reasons that you might ever come back?
Yeah.
Do you think that you'll ever move?
No. I don't want to.
Is there ever any reason that you think you might come back to Kansas City?
I don't think so. I think we're Portlanders.
I'm Gina Kaufman, and today we're looking back at all of these stories and lots of data. Maybe we've learned something enlightening about that moment of truth when you decide whether to stay in Kansas City or check out someplace else. Maybe. Suzanne Hogan, who's been working on these stories, is here with me now. Hi, Suzanne. You've lived in Kansas City your whole life, except a few college years in New Mexico, so you've probably been a sounding board for a lot of people making decisions like this.
Well, definitely. I mean, even starting in high school when you're deciding where you might go to school, whether that be someplace around where you grew up, which for me is Kansas City, or feeling the need to get really far away. And for me, I was deciding between Chicago, KU, and then New Mexico. And then eventually it became really clear that I wanted to get far away. But then when I was far away, I kept kind of feeling that pull back towards Kansas City, and after college decided to move back. Now, I never thought that I would have stayed this long, but I have. And over that time, I kind of realized my friends here, people that I'm associated with, you know, there was a lot of people coming in and a lot of people leaving for various different reasons. And it's always kind of this topic that is being discussed. And yeah, it's just an interesting thing to explore. I think it's good to take stock on what a place is offering for yourself, and if it's working for you, and if it's not, find something else.
It's funny that you thought you wouldn't stay this long. I thought I was coming home for the summer after college. It's been a great long summer. Has your attitude toward people moving away changed over the years?
Oh, definitely. I think, being from Kansas City, I'm really proud of my city. I think when people used to say that they wanted to go to someplace else, I would take that almost personally, like, well, fine, if you're not happy here, then leave, you know, but which I'm realizing as I'm getting older that that's not really a productive attitude to have about it necessarily, and that it's definitely fair for people to, and actually healthy for people to explore places beyond where they've been for a long time, or if something's not a good fit, that to take the risk to go someplace else. So yeah, I think I find myself in a lot more of an encouraging role when somebody tells me that they're tossing around the idea of making a move, or if they're thinking about moving here, you know. I have friends that don't live here that talk about moving to Kansas City, and I think, like, yes, another one on our team.
Did you learn anything that surprised you as you started exploring these decisions with people outside your own social circle?
Yeah, that there are a lot of themes that come up: family, opportunity, environment, but that also all of the reasons, more or less, I mean, yeah, all of the reasons that people come to Kansas City are kind of sometimes the same reason that people leave. It's just a different...
Give some examples.
Oh, okay, like the weather. I mean, and well, I'm sure we'll hear more about that later, but people complaining about it being too hot or too cold, but then people in California saying, gosh, I would do anything for four seasons, and I miss that about Kansas City, or, you know, things like that. I mean, that access to transportation, you know, but whereas some people say, yeah, I know I can get around great in Kansas City, and other people say, well, I can't, you know. It's just like depends on what your perspective is and how you're living your life. So it's just really, really personal.
Well, when we thought about doing the second of these series, Leaving Kansas City, we thought it might teach us valuable information about what the city could do a better job of. But Jeff Pinkerton of the Mid-America Regional Council has actual numbers on where people go. So let's hear what he has to say. Hi, Jeff. Thanks for being here.
Morning, Gina.
What do you think we can learn from looking at people moving to and from Kansas City, the patterns there? Is there real value in studying this stuff?
Oh, absolutely. There's, as you know, economics is full of data. There's data on this and that. I don't know if there's a more interesting variable other than migration patterns on how a region is doing, because people have all the choices available to them. And if they are choosing to leave more than choosing to move into, that tells you a lot about a community. So the fact that Kansas City has more people coming in than going out tells you a little bit about the opportunities that are here, at least from the outside, perceived to be an area that has opportunity for people.
Are there some other cities, like specific other cities, that are very connected to Kansas City in the sense, like places that people move to or from a lot?
Sure. You wouldn't probably be surprised to see we have a lot of connection to other major metros here in the Midwest, Dallas, St. Louis.
But I am kind of surprised by that, to tell you the truth, because okay. I would think that you would go somewhere more different if you were bothering to pack it up and like moving is a gigantic inconvenience, even though it's exciting. I would want to go somewhere totally different.
Understand, but you've got to consider a lot of people move directly because of a job that they might have. And sometimes jobs are regional. So you have a company that has a branch office in Kansas City, you work for that company, and they're offering you a job in St. Louis or Dallas. That's what, you know, you can see the impact of the economy on migration, because migration kind of dries up a little bit when the economy is down. And when the economy comes back, jobs are being created, and they're not always being created equally in different metro areas. You'll see migration patterns change in accordance to that.
Are we part of any national trends?
Yeah, I think if you look at our migration patterns, where we're losing population to, we are losing it to the Sun Belt. We're losing it to places in Florida, Dallas, I mentioned, Houston, Phoenix.
Is that retirement?
A lot of it probably is retirement. We can't get the age and geography at the same time. We can get age alone. We can get geography alone. We can't combine the two, unfortunately. But we do suspect a lot of that is due to retirement. And we draw very regionally. We draw from St. Louis. We draw from Des Moines, Omaha, in other parts of the Midwest. We are a local draw. And strangely enough, we net draw and have net drawn a lot from Southern California for a very long period of time, which is kind of an outlier to us.
What do you make of that? Do you have theories?
Well, I think having lived in Southern California myself for a while, and the things that Suzanne was talking about, the cost of living out there is a lot higher, and people, I used to work at the Chamber of Commerce, and I would get calls from people all over the country saying, I'm planning to move to Kansas City, and I'm looking for a house in the $500,000, that's what I'm selling my house out here for. What could I expect? Well, I could tell them, you could expect quite a lot, because the cost of living is very, very different here. And there are opportunities when people do visit here and see what, you know, they may have a perception in their mind, having never been to Kansas City, what it is. When they get here, you always hear that people are surprised by it, and they do see more opportunity, and they do see it as a place where they can live their life and have a very happy life.
Well, it's interesting that you should mention LA. We've got a story about a power couple here in Kansas City getting ready to move away any day now to LA. And it sounds like this is a really tearful kind of departure, like they don't totally want to go. Suzanne, you produced the story. Tell us about Ashley and Gunnar Hand.
Well, so Gunnar Hand grew up in Kansas City, but eventually moved away, met his wife. And he and his wife, Ashley, were living in LA, and 5 years ago decided that they wanted to start a family in his childhood home, which is in Brookside. And, you know, since that, they've had two kids. And both Ashley and Gunnar Hand have been really involved in city politics in Kansas City since they've made the move back to Kansas City. Ashley helped reopen a Kansas City school district school called Hale Cook Elementary. And she's been working as the city's chief innovations officer with Mayor Sly James. And Gunnar, he's like a city planner. He's active in their neighborhood homes association. He's on the school board and like on the board for the Kansas City Regional Transit Alliance. But after 5 years in Kansas City, they've decided that they're going to pack it up and head back to LA because of a job opportunity that they just couldn't refuse. So this is the final installment of the Leaving of Kansas City series, and we're going to hear about this transition.
Let's hear the story of Gunnar and Ashley Hand.
It's been very bittersweet for us. We love this city. Ashley has adopted it, which warms my heart to this day. But ultimately, an opportunity came up for us, and we analyzed it for a long, long time. And I think ultimately, it was an opportunity that only came once in a lifetime. And our children are young enough, and we are young enough, that we decided we could take that leap.
I think we're leaving Kansas City with the knowledge that this is home to us. This is where our daughters were born. We are one of a very few group of people that can say that we had two generations born in the same house. And I think that's really quite remarkable. And I know for both Genevieve and Grace that we will be bringing them back so that they can identify with Kansas City as their hometown. And I think we've had some very emotional, including now. Choke that back a little bit. And I think that it's pretty amazing to know that Kansas City is our home.
I mean, the honest truth is we never thought we'd go back to Los Angeles. It was never crossing our mind. We left specifically to Kansas City because we didn't want to raise our children in Los Angeles. But I think that there is still beauty in that chaos in the LA Basin. I agree with Ashley. At the end of the day, my heart has never left and will never leave Kansas City, Missouri. It will always be my home. We're processing.
Yeah, I'd say.
We are in the process of selling our house, my childhood home, and that's difficult for us both, and I guess me in particular.
For us both.
For us both.
Yeah. So we are about 4 weeks away from being completely out of here, which is just in terms of our physical assets and not necessarily our emotional ties, but certainly we're working on trying to provide a little bit of transition for all the things that we have underway. So Gunnar's working really hard to do the last bits of work that he can for the school board, and I'm privileged enough to be part of the process of finding the next chief innovation officer for the city. So we're actively doing that and building a transition plan for that, because I think there are some things that we've been fortunate enough to be part of that we want to make sure continue. Friends of Hill Cook is doing just fine. We have a new board chair that's been running the organization for the last year and has done an incredible job, and the board has grown and expanded. And so I think we can kind of know that some of these things will continue.
Gunnar Hand took a job to open a city design studio for an architectural firm in LA. And Suzanne, do I understand correctly that Ashley gets to decide where they move the next three times?
Yeah, that was a part of the compromise which I thought was really cool, because one, that they are thinking that they might move three more times.
Yeah, that's ambitious.
And it's understanding that, you know, moving so hard. That's one thing Ashley got emotional, and I was getting emotional too when we were sitting down talking. When you're thinking about packing up everything that you own, starting new someplace, even if you have lived someplace before, it's just a lot to take in. And that's just something I feel like anybody who's made a move can really relate to. And they have a lot on their plate right now too. I mean, they're trying to sell their house and they're leaving in maybe 2 weeks now. So, yeah.
They sound so sad to be leaving. And it breaks my heart that we couldn't offer them those dream jobs here. I mean, it's true that you could live in New York or LA and still get that offer of a dream job somewhere else. That's life. But Jeff, is this something that we see more than our fair share of here?
Well, actually, one way we look at this is trying to track brain drain or brain gain. Are you losing educated folks? And by this, we're looking at bachelor's degree and above. And the margin is very thin for us. We do have a tendency to add more of that demographic than lose, but it's very, very narrow. So we're kind of, a 50-50 on that. We're probably gaining just as much, just slightly a bit more than we're losing.
Are there particular communities whose populations drain to Kansas City and places that are frequently drawing from here?
So, one place that we look at, very interesting, city very much like us, Minneapolis. We look at the net change there, and it's almost zero. We send tens of thousands of people up that way, and they send tens of thousands of people down this way. So the net is almost zero.
We
trade folks, it seems like there. We do net draw from St. Louis, as I mentioned, and some of those Sunbelt places we're net losing.
Suzanne, what do you think about the idea of leaving for opportunity in general?
In general, I think that that's really great. I mean, if you have an opportunity to go someplace and, you know, experience something different, I think that it can only be a benefit even if it doesn't work out. You know, I'm from Kansas City, so I always feel like, well, there's always going to be Kansas City for me. But I think when you're at an age where there's things coming up that it's almost foolish not to take those opportunities.
What about the argument? I mean, this is an argument I hear a lot because people talk about this stuff a lot, is that why not just make that opportunity here?
Well, and that's, I was also the other side of my brain saying, but a lot of people do come to Kansas City because you can do things here. I mean, the cost of living, it's a really welcoming, supportive community of people that live here. So I think that is another thing that's really attracting people here and keeping people here.
Tell us your story. If you're in the middle of making this decision or if you've wrestled with it in the past, call us up and tell us what's tipped the balance in one direction or the other. And if you're a diehard Kansas City fan, how do you handle people moving away? 816-235-2888 is the number to call. That's 816-235-2888. We'll be right back. And we're back. Hi again, Suzanne.
Hi, Gina.
And welcome back, Jeff.
Hey, Gina.
Suzanne Hogan is a KCUR reporter who's worked on the sister series Going to Kansas City and Leaving Kansas City. Jeff Pinkerton is with us from the Mid-America Regional Council. I'm Gina Kaufman, and we're calling this edition of Central Standard, Should I Stay or Should I Go? It's about the tough decisions people make about where to live. Suzanne, this might be hard to talk about, but you're actually kicking around the idea of packing your bags eventually.
Okay, I want to set something straight. I always think about that. I think that that's something that is, like I said earlier, healthy to think about. Like, I just recently did a lot of traveling, which I think is a thing that typically reawakens and opens up ideas in people's minds. I think, gosh, Kansas City doesn't have mountains. It doesn't have the ocean. You know, things like,
what would it be like to wake up every day here?
Yeah.
I think that too when I go on vacation.
I think that's an honest assessment, and it's a way to kind of check myself too. Like, okay, what is it about this city that's not working for me, and how can I make it, you know, better? Like, I bought a canoe a few years ago because I realized I need to be around water more, and there is water here, and I can make this city work out for me. I mean, even when I go on a road trip for a long time, I try to pretend like I've never seen Kansas City skyline before and just take in what that feels like. And I'll be honest, there's the drive going down 69, heading in to downtown. When I see that skyline, it's like, yes. But then sometimes when I'm coming from like St. Louis, heading, west on 70, I see the skyline and I think, okay, here we go, I'm back. And it's just being honest. You know, there's sometimes when you're really
you gotta be honest.
When you're excited to be in your city. I mean, I'm from here. It's a love hate, I think, with a lot of things. And so I'm not trying to speak poorly about Kansas City. If anything, I feel like I'm one of its biggest fans. But, you know, yes, maybe there's opportunity other places. Am I missing out by not, you know, just going on a whim and trying to make it go at someplace else?
I think when I'm on vacation, I usually have a process of like the first 2 days, I am imagining myself living in this place and I'm getting very excited. And by the end of the vacation, I miss Kansas City and can't wait to come home. But every now and then there is that sort of lingering thought.
Yeah. And when you hang out in some cities for a long enough period of time, you hear people kind of complain the same way about, you know, Paris or something, the same thing that they're saying, you know, about Kansas City. So, I mean, it's just maybe a state of mind of like, you know, being critical of where you're living.
The grass is greener.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think being in this general industry, economic research for 20 years or so, we've always worried about, you know, what is our reputation with particularly the younger set? Is this a place that young people would want to come and start their business, start their families and the like? And it used to be when something came across our computer screen that ranked us in the top 10 of this and that, it was noteworthy. We touted it and we talked about it. Those things are really commonplace now. We have made such an incredible change, particularly in Kansas City, Missouri, the downtown area, which is the urban area, which is increasingly of interest to the younger folks, has come such a long way that Kansas City is now a place of opportunity. It's getting more national attention. And I think that's really goes a long way to kind of changing the perspective of I'm here. things are probably going to be better elsewhere. Maybe not the case. You're hearing too much about people talking outside, talking about Kansas City.
In Kansas City, I think we see ourselves as kind of like the little engine that could. Like, we're just on the cusp of moving to that next level as a city, and we're all in it together. And it's such a thing that if you leave or even think about leaving, people see it as kind of an act of disloyalty, as though you're not maybe doing your part. Do you guys think that's fair?
I think it is. I have the same reaction that Suzanne had. When people that are talented leave because they're not finding opportunities here, That does kind of make me question, what could we do to make sure we keep talent here? People that like it here, want to be here, what job opportunities are they not finding? And is it really pervasive? Oftentimes, it's just an individual situation where an individual person in another place has that perfect offer that we're not going to be able to match. But if we're losing people in droves because we're lacking an opportunity, that's a concern that we really need to take an economic development lens to and see if we can address.
Well, in Kansas City's favor, let's talk about livability. We have a certain pace and quality of life. So why don't we let former soccer player Sasha Victorine tell us about it?
You come to a new neighborhood here and you meet new people or whatever it is, and they say, hey, let's get together. I'd love to catch up. And in California, that really means, hey, it was great to meet you. We'll never see you again. Right? It's you live on the other side of the city. So we just might as well say today that there's no way I'm ever going to go over there and see you again. Right? But here people are genuine and they mean it. And they're like, hey, let's get together. And it's like the next day you've got a knock on your door. You've got a phone call. You're like, whoa, what's going on? So it's part of what makes the city great is that there is a good community here, and there's a lot of people who really care about their neighbors and everybody else who's trying to enjoy the area.
Shell O'Reilly has a similar idea. Her Kansas City friends were trying to convince her to move here, and she wasn't quite biting until...
And I said, I don't know, if somebody offers me a job. And I got offered a job, boom, right on the spot. And so I was like, wait, what? I have a job? Okay. And I knew a friend who had a room open, and I made more friends while I was here. So I literally was like, okay, I've got friends. I've got a place to stay. I've got a job. I guess I'm going to Kansas City. Instead of having to feel scrappy and pulling yourself up by your bootstraps all the time and just barely making it by on your rent and all that, it was like, oh no, you can plan for your future. You can have a future. You can think about things like buying a house or having kids or all those things that New Yorkers put off by 10 years or more. Suddenly, Kansas City is a place where I could have a family. Or I could have, a relationship. Or I could, I could have time for something. I hadn't known before Kansas City that I could still be reaching and dreaming and trying and still have roots. So I came to Kansas City and I was like, oh, I'm going to put down roots. And I'm still going to pursue writing better and working harder and pursuing all sorts of interests. Kansas City has become a place where I feel so comfortable to put down roots that I actually even just bought a house here.
So these clips from the series that we've been doing bring up for me whether some things are possible here that are almost just inconceivable in bigger cities and on the coast.
Yeah, I like that we paired those together in some ways, because I remember Sasha Victorine from the first clip talking about how if they were going to go visit some family member just a little bit outside of the city and they were living in Southern California, they would be checking traffic reports on their phone and, planning their whole day, hours, wasted. And he was just saying it's so easy to meet up with people here. The logistics are just so much easier in Kansas City. And then the same thing with Shell, here she's been living in New York, and then she comes to Kansas City and she's able to find an affordable house, a job, a group of friends. And so I think that there is something that's going on in this city that, I definitely feel personally too, that it is a little bit easier, pacier, people are friendly, and it's affordable, which kind of gives people a little bit more leeway than, say, maybe a place like New York or L.A.
I love this about Kansas City. People have hobbies and porches and gardens and stuff. The 10-hour day still isn't the norm here. But I wonder if these things might be traps in a way, too. Are we kind of intimidated by our daydreams when we are thinking about more challenging environments?
Well, I wasn't even thinking about that so much. I mean, I was just also thinking that, like, you know, it's not like Kansas City is just this commercial of greatness, and maybe there's a bad side to being so, having things be so easy. I mean, I just lost a roommate last night who moved to New York by Greyhound bus because he felt like he wasn't being challenged enough in his own day-to-day life here. And so I it's just so very personal, I guess, is what I keep saying, but friends and family and relationships have a huge, I think, pull and push for people.
Call 816-235-2888 to tell us how you've wrestled with the idea of leaving Kansas City. What tempts you about someplace else, and how strong a hold does Kansas City have on you? I want to talk to Carrie in Gladstone. Hi, Carrie.
Hi.
What's your story?
Well, I lived north of the river most of my adult life. I went to Westport High School, so very familiar with Midtown and whatnot. But my story right now is, I think maybe the city of Kansas City, Missouri, because that's where I live. I'm at the moment walking through Happy Rock Park in Gladstone, but the park winds up in Kansas City. Metro North Mall would be a great example of what I'm talking about. It is, until recently, had Macy's and several one-off stores that were still hanging on, but they closed everything but Macy's, and basically they've made it a parking lot for the Ford plant to store their inventory until they ship it.
Can you explain, I guess I want to make sure I understand you, how does this play into your own personal dilemma about whether you want to live here or go someplace else? It sounds like maybe economic downturn in certain areas is kind of bumming you out.
Well, that's part of it. I live in the area. I even had a shop there way back. But now, if you look at it, it should be zoned retail, not industrial storage. And to me, it's businesses, retail businesses, even big places like Jose Pepper's, Best Buy have closed. And I'm afraid other things are going to be going. They're like a buffet that older people might go in for meals. It's closed because, and we've got
Carrie,
Red Lobster. And,
I'm going to jump in and let our economic expert here respond to this.
Well, I think he's describing something that's going on nationwide. Retail is dramatically changing. People are doing a lot more shopping online. Shopping malls themselves are kind of dying out with few exceptions. We do have a few that are still going pretty strong, but they are more the exception than the rule. So I don't know if that's necessarily a Kansas City unique thing. I think you're just seeing a changing phase in that particular industry overall.
It's interesting. People get attached to places. I mean, right. Specific shops or venues as part of their attachment to a geographic place. And in an era where there are national chains and there are, and things just change. And if your attachment to a geographic place is built on a business model that is totally up in the air.
Yeah, and that's a good point, tying it back into, you know, the sense of place that we have. We do do associate ourselves with some of the clips we had earlier talking about the barbecue in the air. That's definitely a tie that people have towards Kansas City. And, you know, imagine if those were all, you know, became chains or something, we would kind of lose a little bit of our identity. And I think that's what the caller is probably representing going on up north. That was a major anchor, economic anchor to the Northland that's going through a dramatic change right now.
Let's hear from Joe in Overland Park. Hi, Joe.
Hi, Gina. How are you?
Great. How about you?
Doing well.
What's your tale of indecision, perhaps, or total decisiveness, possibly?
I'd like to think the latter, but probably not. You know, went to China Mission South and then Pittsburgh State, and then when I graduated, I moved out to Newport Beach and lived several places out in Southern California for over a decade, and had some great experiences out there. Learned a lot. Learned how to surf. Learned how to deal with traffic on a day-to-day basis, obviously. And you know, moved back here about 6 months ago, I think the major pull for me was just family. And my daughter's 5 and going to be going to kindergarten this fall, and it worked out well for us time-wise, and just decided that schooling was more of a priority, and we wanted to have our kids go to school back here instead of out there.
Well, Joe, it's interesting that you should bring up family, because it seems like that did come up a lot in especially the Going to Kansas City series. So what about raising a family here compared with elsewhere? Let's hear what former Broadway performer, Tracy Tearstrip Herber has to say about moving to Kansas City, about living after living the dream in New York.
There's also this big wall. There was pre-children and post-children. So we did have my daughter while we were still in New York. I mean, even having my daughter at NYU Hospital, I had her over the holidays, and I remember the doctor said, I have a Christmas party to go to. We're going to have this baby tonight. And it just was such an example of New York.
I want to be a producer with a hit show on Broadway. I want to be a producer, lunch at Sardi's.
We were juggling nannies with our crazy schedules. So I just had this deep-seated feeling that I needed to try something else. We both came out here on an exploratory trip early 2008. And we just looked at the skyline. The Kauffman Center was it was a ceiling. I think they had just recently done the Power and Light District, and we visited a First Friday, and we looked at each other and thought, this could be exciting. This could be something that we do together. Neither of us had ever lived in the Midwest, but we just said, let's give it a shot.
And say you, not you.
Central Standard's off to a break. When we return, more stories, more struggles. Should you stay or should you go? 816-235-2888. Lay out your dilemma. We'll be right back. I'm Gina Kaufman. Our guests this morning on Central Standard are Suzanne Hogan from here at KCUR and Jeff Pinkerton of the Mid-America Regional Council. We're talking about what draws people to Kansas City and what sends them away. And Suzanne, we just heard from Tracy Tearstrip Herber. She had this amazing career in New York City, still has an amazing career here, but she talked to you about some of the responses of New Yorkers.
Well, yeah, I mean, she was saying when she was telling people here, she found Kansas City and found all this amazing art scene, which that did come up a lot with the people that I talked to. But just some of the New Yorkers' perspectives of when she said, I'm going to Kansas City, Matthew Broderick, who she was working with on the producers, was like, what are you going to do there? Like, and I think that when I've been traveling around and people don't know anything about Kansas City and they have maybe their perceptions of what they think it is, you were talking a little bit about like that little inch and that could thing. I think it kind of builds like if you're living here and you see all the great things here, you just want to like get rid of that veil of misconception about it and say, no, there is a lot of great opportunities here and there are a lot of really cool things going on. Despite what other people may not know about it.
Yeah, the art scene in downtown, I would say those are two areas where Kansas City has really coalesced around these developments. And Jeff, I wonder if the numbers you're seeing about Kansas City have changed as downtown has gotten more vibrant and as the art scene has become more known outside of the city.
Oh, absolutely. I think the economy is going to be the major driver on migration, and we've been a little bit slow coming out of the recession, so our migration numbers are still positive, but maybe not as great as they have been. But undoubtedly, getting seen outside the region as a place where art is happening, a lot of things are happening, more economic opportunities, getting that spread. When we lose folks that consider Kansas City home and go to the other parts, they're ambassadors, in a sense, to Kansas City. They're spreading the word of what Kansas City has to offer. So all that stuff is just spreading and making Kansas City appear more on people's radars than maybe it has in the past.
Anton tweeted us that he says, I'm from Miami, my wife is from Pennsylvania, and we both miss the ocean. That's Kansas City's only flaw as far as we're concerned. And things that a city maybe can't control of itself about itself come up a lot. Let's give a listen to Zach Albetta, who's a Kansas City jazz drummer who moved to L.A. He misses many things about Kansas City, but...
The things that I do not miss about Kansas City are not really Kansas City's fault. I never got used to summers over 100 and winters below zero. I never got used to humidity, and I had the worst allergies of my life in Kansas City.
I hear that Lewis and Clark actually considered this region to be uninhabitable, and but okay, so weather, allergies, we can't do anything about that. But on the other hand, are there cities that deal with especially weather issues better than others?
Well, I think we talked a little bit about Minneapolis here, and yeah, their summers maybe aren't as hot, but their winters are far worse than ours. And
kind of a wash weather-wise.
Yeah, exactly. But they're doing that's a city that's doing quite well, has a great national reputation, and you know, have you been to Miami? And you talk about humidity. We don't understand humidity here until you go down to a place like that. So it's really, you know, all about individual and their perspective.
Yeah, as an allergy sufferer and a person who talked to lots of people, allergies came up so much. It was kind of crazy. But I had allergies in New Mexico, and people said I wasn't going to have it there. I mean, yeah, what can you do?
When we figure out how to trap the pollen, I guess that would not be good for the ecosystem, unfortunately. So yeah, we won't worry too much about trying to solve allergies today. Let's talk to Vincent. He's with us from Waldo. Hi, Vincent.
Hey, how are you?
Good. How about you?
All right. I had two questions. One was, do you do any tracking or any numbers on as far as race is concerned that are leaving the city, like, you know, African-American specifically? And also, too, I would like to ask, how do entertainers specifically who cater to African-American audiences look at Kansas City as an A, B, or C market?
So, Jeff, I don't know if you're able to answer both of those questions for us. But
well, I can take a stab at the population changes by race. We don't have the migration data specifically by race. I think that might be available. I haven't really taken a look at it. But overall, our population trends, we're seeing population growth. Really, the minority populations, Hispanic, African-American populations, are outpacing the white population. So we're seeing...
To Kansas City.
Well, just the population overall. So I'm assuming natural growth and net inflow. So I think all races are really being represented, and we're seeing growth across the board.
Vincent, what leads you to ask that question? I'm just curious.
Well, I do entertainment myself, DJing, and of course, everyone always says, you know, they go to different clubs, different venues outside of Kansas City, specifically African Americans, and they talk about how better it is, how more artists are apt to come to cities outside of Kansas City because Kansas City is looked at as a kind of a C market. You know, more promoters and say they can't make a lot of money bringing in concerts catered towards African Americans. So that was kind of a difficult question.
Does that ever tempt you away? As a DJ?
Specifically, Dallas was tempting because of that. However, you know, it would be kind of a pioneer mission. I didn't have the numbers to say, hey, you know, I would make this amount more of dollars moving to Dallas over staying here.
So you didn't have the numbers to make the leap. I'm going to selfishly feel excited about that. But Suzanne.
Well, it kind of makes me think of a show that you guys did on Central Standard a while back talking about the comedy scene in Kansas City.
I was thinking about that, too.
I think it just kind of depends on whatever it is that you're into. I mean, unfortunately, Kansas City probably does fall short in a lot of scenes. But also, it might be on the up and up. I'm not like an expert in it by any means. But
did people talk to you about race in the course of this going to Kansas City and leaving Kansas City thing?
You know, it didn't really come up so much as something that was being dealt with now. Kansas City's reputation and history came up a lot as people were talking about their decision to come here and leave, but not so much beyond that. So, which I think is something that as a person who has had friends move to Kansas City and ask me, so what's going on with the history of segregation in Kansas City and having to tell people about that? I mean, I think that is something that if you're not from here and haven't been taught about that a lot in other places, you might be kind of blindsided by. But it's a good conversation to obviously have.
Yeah, I think in entertainment, it's you're talking about market size. We're a city, a region of 2 million people, and Dallas-Fort Worth is a region of 6 or 7 million people. So if you're looking to fill a venue for a show or two, obviously you're going to have more of an opportunity to do that in the larger venue. So I think, you know, that's just... They're larger than us.
And sorry, as I just said that, I kind of realized that maybe that's maybe a frustrating aspect of collecting these stories, that that wasn't something that's talked about more, because we are so much more beyond of our history. I mean, we have a hugely diverse city with a lot of things going on in a lot of different communities. So, yeah.
Let's talk to Linister in Volker. Hi, Linister.
Hi. I moved here in 1970 from Chicago. I was only going to stay. I'm an artist, by the way, so I can live anywhere. And I thought I'd stay here for 1 or 2 years and go on to San Francisco. But I'm still here.
You've had a long summer just like me, Linister. What kept you here?
Well, I bought a building in Volker in the middle of a neighborhood of little houses. There's no bars nearby. And I can paint in here. And I got it for a relatively pittance. It wasn't too bad. And I walk everywhere. I can walk to 2 bookstores. And we have good restaurants all over the city. And I could take the train to go visit Chicago, or you take the train to Southern California and visit friends out there.
That's a pretty long train ride.
Oh, it's a wonderful train ride. I wish it was longer.
Well, so
get a little compartment. I take my own wine and cheese. I just sit back. It's like being at sea almost. It's just a wonderful ride.
So you came here from Chicago on your way to San Francisco, never went the rest of the way to San Francisco. But the things you describe liking here, like that you can walk to bookstores in your neighborhood, it sounds like maybe a smaller version of the same things you would have found in San Francisco. Like you can maybe just walk to a couple bookstores nearby here instead of a whole city of them. But is that kind of what you found?
Well, but you can't afford San Francisco anymore. It's too expensive.
So back to the cost of living.
Yeah, it's kind of way up. But see, look at all the nice restaurants we have. And the food is wonderful. And I'm single and I'm dating young ladies and they like to go to restaurants. So I like to go to restaurants too.
They sure do like to go to restaurants, Linister. Well, thanks so much for that call.
A lot of East Coasters brought this up. And some of the inquiries that we did, that they miss bodegas and coffee shops, which, depending on what neighborhood you are in Kansas City, that does exist within a walking distance. But
yeah, let's describe the bodega for people who haven't lived in a city where that's just commonplace.
Well, I've never lived in a city where that is commonplace. I've visited a lot of them. But yeah, a place where you can go get basic things that you need, not a Walgreens, you know, like a little mom and pop place where you can get produce.
Tiny place on every corner.
Exactly. And maybe has like a small bakery in them, you know, but Kansas City doesn't really have a lot of those. I can't really actually.
Like newsstands and flower stands that are just on your way.
You know, we're seeing more street food, which is another food came up a lot too. But that is something that Kansas City is not New York.
It's not. I'll agree with that.
I mean, there's some ways that we just aren't. Maybe, I don't know, maybe that'll change over the years. Kansas City has changed a lot since I've moved back here, but.
Well, maybe it's better if we're not comparing ourselves anyway. Just you've got to come here because you want Kansas City. And if you want New York, that's probably where you belong. Let's talk to Charlie in Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Charlie.
Hi. I was at the Raucous Caucus this last week at Barney Ellis Plaza, where they had city council candidates there, and we could talk about different issues relating to Kansas City. And the event was kind of designed to bring more awareness to young voters and get millennials to the polls. So there was a lot of discussion about how to attract and keep millennials in Kansas City, which I think you guys have talked about. But one of the candidates, Lee Barnes, brought up the point that millennials aren't going to be young forever. And so in all of this effort to attract millennials through, like, building luxury lofts or revitalizing downtown, how is that going to – what's going to happen when they age?
That's an interesting question. The idea that we're maybe very oriented toward attracting youth – is it their youth that we're attracting, or is it a mindset that will perhaps stay with them as they age.
Yeah, I don't know if this the urban push is just a millennial thing. I think it. I attribute it more to just youth. So when the millennials reach middle age, there's another cohort that's going to come in and want to demand that urban lifestyle housing. And we have to keep in mind that we didn't have much urban lifestyle housing 20 years ago, 15 years ago. And it's still a very small component of Kansas City's overall housing scene. It was something that was vital that we had at least have that option to people that did want that, who maybe would have been happier in Chicago or New York because there wasn't that option in Kansas City. Now that that's here, all of a sudden we are an option to them. So I don't see that as something that's going to dissipate as the millennials age. I think there's going to be another group that demands it.
Just back on the race thing for a second, Miss Crane tweeted us, I was going to ask about race also. There is an exodus. There are few opportunities for mid-level careers and segregation issues. I wish we could ask a little more about that, but what do you know, Jeff?
Well, again, the overall population trends show that we have population growth across the board via race. Now, there may be certain parts within the region that we're seeing migration shifts from perhaps in the core out to the suburban areas, but overall, I think as the region, we're seeing that population growth across.
Or maybe those people who do leave, it's a specific kind of opportunity that they're having trouble accessing here.
Well, that could be too. I mean, if there's a certain type of a career, a certain type of industry that they're looking for, occupation that they're looking for that they can't find here.
Let's talk quickly with Laura from Kansas City, Missouri. Hi, Laura.
Hi.
Tell us your story.
Well, real quickly, I grew up in Kansas City. I'm a Brookside person. I went to Southwest High School and went away for college and graduate school, and sort of at different times in my life have tried to figure out whether I should stay or should I go. And it was hard to give up sort of the community feeling that Kansas City has. And so what I did to challenge myself here was I decided to just change my career totally, and I opened a little restaurant in Westport. And the reason why I was able to do that is because of the community and the neighbors and the people that like to support local business. And frankly, it's like my background's in historic preservation, so I knew I wanted to be in a historic area. And it's been really amazing sort of to feel that support. And like, you know, for the first like 4 months I was open, like 90% of the people that would come into my place were neighbors, you know, people from Brookside and people that I knew from my career at City Hall. And
so you made, it sounds like things that people move for, like to make a new life for themselves. You did that without leaving. You just made a new life for yourself here.
Exactly. I did it here, and I couldn't have done it without sort of that sort of the ability, both for the support for small business, you know, and just the support for people in the community and those relationships that you build in places like Kansas City that you don't see in other environments. Like, I didn't want to necessarily be 45 years old and moving to New York and trying to find a whole new base of friends, you know. So now I have a place where everybody just comes to see me, which is great.
We've got a tweet that I'd like to address. Alex tweeted us that he feels like he's hearing weak reasons for returning to Kansas City. Schools,
oh, no.
Families, kids. And so there's a question that he's posed about politics and whether the politics of our region prevent our schools from being as good as they could be. Like, I guess he's questioning the idea that this is a good place to raise kids and that our schools are a compelling motive.
Well, I think we have a wide variety of schools throughout this region, and some of them are very high performing. And I know it's been well documented, some of them need to perform better. So I think, you know, overall, if school district is your primary factor in moving to this region, you will find several school districts that will meet that.
And yeah, in talking to Ashley and Gunnar Hand that we heard from their piece earlier, I mean, who moved here and within 5 years of being here got very active, was on the school board, helped reopen a mothballed school. I think one of the things that they would say and that I kind of feel like is part of this theme is that there is, if you're willing to do it, you can get involved and do things here. And that's kind of I feel like that's a sense of a lot of younger people in my age, I'm in my 30s, you know, that there isn't a sense of opportunity here that is unique to other places. And kind of getting back to the caller earlier too, that friendliness, we didn't talk too much about that Kansas City friendliness came up a lot, which at first I was a little eye rolly about being from here, like, oh, what does that even mean? But it is kind of true. There is a sense of people are genuinely nicer here, in my opinion. I don't know. I mean, there's jerks everywhere, but but definitely there's a nice community of supporting people in the city. And so that's one of the reasons I'm staying.
That's it. Our time is up. I hope Kansas City didn't lose anyone because of us this hour. and just remember, as Suzanne Hogan says, there are jerks everywhere. Jeff Pinkerton of the Mid-America Regional Council, thanks so much for your time.
Thanks, Gina.
And Suzanne, if you ever do pack your bags and head out on the road, I will miss you, but I support you no matter what.
Well, thank you. And I'm not saying that jerks everywhere is a good thing, but yeah, it's just recognizing that fact.
You can listen back to today's show at kcur.org/centralstandard later on in the day, and feel free to continue the discussion on our Twitter feed. We're at KCURCST. Tomorrow, what plants know, how they communicate with each other. It's wild. Don't miss it. Central Standard is produced by Matthew Long Middleton and Sylvia Maria Gross. I'm Gina Kaufman. Thanks to everyone for sharing stories. Stick around for Up to Date.